Right, let's go to the courts. It's the case involving the tragic and brutal killing of Tshego Fatso Pule in the dock in Tutuko Shoba. And watching it for us, Khumotso Modise, you've heard already on Sifiso Zulu's bulletins with some of what's happened today. Khumotso, welcome and thanks for your time. Some drama today as Muzikayise Malepane came to the court. There was an intervention from the judge, which you'll tell us about, and then some dramatic testimony. Well, what did he say? Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, John. Yes, so Muzikayise Malepane is the star witness. He was the second witness to take the stand today. Earlier on, we heard from a shorter testimony from the cousin of Tshego Fatso Pule. But of course, Malepane's testimony is the one that we've been anticipating, mainly because he had turned state witness. And he was sentenced to 20 years behind bars, which he's currently serving. And that was part of his plea bargain. And so, of course, we were expecting the testimony to be groundbreaking. But before he took the stand, or while he was taking the stand, getting comfortable to testify, we saw acting judge Wilson, Stuart Wilson, saying that asking if it's necessary for him to have his leg irons on, which security responded that it is procedure. And so the acting judge then ruled that they be removed so that he may be comfortable. So he was uncuffed during that entire testimony today. But then we also heard from the representative for Tutuko Shoba, that's Mr. Makuela, really saying that his client also then should have his leg irons removed. Then we heard from the acting judge saying that he had no idea that Shoba had leg irons on as well, and he ruled that he be uncuffed too. So really that was the acting judge saying that people should be comfortable, and unless they pose a direct risk or threat to the security of the people in the courtroom, then there's no reason for them to be cuffed. But once that was done, we got into the matter of mistakes from Muzikayise, who really made some really, really chilling and startling revelations. Really speaking about his relationship with Tshego Shoba, saying they went to high school together at around 2008 or 2009, and later on they would be in each other's company, at parties and other places of entertainment. They knew each other quite well.
Right.
But then he says that he was very surprised when he got a phone call from Shoba because he didn't know that Shoba had his numbers. And so according to Malepane, Shoba went to visit him at his girlfriend's house in Roodepoort, where he approached him and said that he wanted someone who could kill Tshego Fatso Pule. The testimony then escalated, of course, and when we heard the details around why he wanted a person to kill Pule, we heard from Shoba, Malepane, that Tshego Shoba wanted Pule to be killed because she was pregnant with his child and because he didn't want his wife to know that he had impregnated another woman.
Yes.
And so, according to Malepane, that was the motive to have Tshego Fatso Pule killed. But we also heard how Tshego Shoba allegedly put together a bogus interview that Tshego Fatso Pule was supposed to fall for at a McDonald's in the Mall of the South, in a part of the South, I think called Omonde. We spoke about this yesterday, John.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, so Pule didn't pitch, according to the witnesses that have taken the stand. But according to Malepane, that was the day that she was supposed to die. That was the 29th of May. The plan was that she would arrive at the McDonald's, and then the lady who had called her to the interview, who was also organized by Shoba, this is all according to Malepane, would instruct her to get into a vehicle that would take her to the interview. We learned today that the driver of that vehicle was Malepane himself,
yes,
who is Tshego Fatso Pule's murderer.
So, Khumotso, in giving all this detail, what was your sense of Malepane as he did it? Was he animated? Was he calm? I mean, I did get a little sense from the clips that sound clips that you provided for Sifiso's bulletins that he seemed to be very contained and very calm. But that obviously is a tiny slice of what you've observed today. What did you think?
You know, John, I mean, when you walked in from his demeanor, he wasn't in full prison regalia. He was in sweatpants. He had a watch on. He had running or sneakers on. He seemed rather comfortable, rather relaxed and I think when the acting judge asked that his leg irons be removed, that even got him even more comfortable. So from the beginning, he sounded like a person who was ready to sing, and that's exactly what he did. He went onto the stand and, you know, he provided all the information that he could provide. But also, from the beginning, it seemed as though he was relaying a story that he knew very well. And he was very forthcoming,
right.
You know, with information. Never, you know, hardly ever giving answers like, I don't know, or I am not sure.
Indeed.
He seemed to have an answer all the time. And towards the end, actually, when he was now being asked about, you know, the plans to kill Pule in detail, like the plan to have her hung at the bridge of Mariesburg in Johannesburg, he then took some long pauses, took deep breaths, you know, covered his eyes. So there was a bit of emotion that was shown during that time. And we even heard, you know, the state lawyer really say, Mr. Fargrave saying, would you like some time? Should we take a bit of a break? But, you know, we heard Malapane really soldiering on and wanting to finish the testimony. Of course, he didn't today. There's a lot more to get through. But he did show some emotion towards the end.
Thanks very much. And a really vivid picture from our reporter, Khumotso Modise, not just in this interview, but in all her crossings as well, of a chilling day in a truly terrible court matter taking place in the Johannesburg High Court. This is 702 Drive.